Hello and welcome to another episode of ATPL Assist, the podcast for student pilots studying towards their ATPL exams. In this episode, we'll be looking at the eye and vision, and in particular, some of the physiological health conditions that affect sight, which are important for pilots and for the EASA and CAA exams. Don't forget, you can listen to the podcast on Apple Podcasts or on our website, atplassist.co.uk. And why not give us a follow on Instagram at ATPLAssist. So, the eye and vision and associated health problems, let's begin. Okay, so in terms of vision and human vision, the main sensory organs responsible for this are the eyes. Now, the eyes anatomically are two spherical-like structures, and there's some important basic anatomy that we need to know. So light entering the eye enters through the outer clear lining or structural element known as the cornea. Now, the cornea as a structure allows the light to pass through it and is responsible for 70% of the refraction. That's the bending or focusing of light onto its final structure we'll talk about momentarily. So the cornea is a clear structure that does most of the refraction. We then have behind the cornea a spherical structure with a hole in it. That's known as the iris, and that gives you the colour or pigmentation of the eye. The iris has a hole within it known as the pupil, and it's the iris that moderates the size of the pupil. So as the iris contracts, the pupil gets bigger. As the iris relaxes, the pupil gets smaller. Remember, the getting bigger is dilation and the getting smaller is constriction. So dilating the pupil by contracting the iris allows more light into the eye, and the reverse is true for contraction. Once passing through the pupil, the light then enters the lens, which essentially is a fluid, protein and cellular structure that is essentially able to change in terms of its thickness, supported by muscles. And that within itself also allows for some final refraction. And indeed, the lens contributes around 30% of the fraction, which is around 16 to 30 diopters, which is the unit of measure for light refraction in terms of the eye itself. At that point, then, the light's going to travel through a fluid. That particular fluid is known as vitreous humor. And it's the vitreous humor that is responsible for maintaining intraocular pressure. That's the pressure in the eye at its normal kind of parameter, which is around medically 20 millimeters per mercury. And from there, the light is going to land on the retina, and that's the final destination. And it's the light, the retina, that contains the photosensitive cells, the rod and cone cells. Important rod and cone cells. Rod cells and cone cells are found on the retina. Rod cells are found on the retina, particularly around the outside. And the cone cells tend to be concentrated in an area of the retina known as the fovea. And it's these cells that allow you to kind of essentially see or collect light from your environment and convert it into an electrical or a neurological signal that can then be passed to the brain. That signal is interpreted by the rod and cone cells. It's converted to an electrical signal, which then flows along the optic nerve, which then exits through the cranium into the optic chiasm and onto the occipital lobe at the back of the brain. So that's how the kind of information gets there. In terms of the eye itself then, the rod and cone cells, what do they do? Well, rod cells sense black and white or day and night, and they are found around the outside of the eye. The cone cells themselves are focused, are found on the fovea, and that's where our colour vision really occurs. What we call our scotopic vision, rods, and our photopic vision, cones, two important buzzwords there. Scotopic vision is rods, that's round the outside, and our photopic vision or photopic vision is from the cones. Remember, the cones are for clarity, colour, and are found in the centre. Rods are around the outside, and they use rhodopsin in order to function. It does take a bit of time for rhodopsin to develop. It comes from vitamin A. This gives us our night vision. And that can take 30 to 45 minutes to fully allow your rods to adapt to low light intensity levels by the use of this chemical known as rhodopsin, which relies upon vitamin A from the diet. In terms of night vision itself, then, you need oxygen, plentiful supply of oxygen. Don't forget, we know that oxygen, the night vision threshold is 5,000 feet. So above that, oxygen levels are lower, and therefore your night vision can become affected. So again, 5,000 feet, that's one of our hypoxia thresholds that we need to be aware of. The amount of oxygen is reduced, therefore the vitamin A conversion to rhodopsin is also affected, which affects night vision. So supplementary oxygen, again, CAAR, so exam, might be required above 5,000 feet. In terms of the eye itself, then, two important words that we need to be aware of. Firstly, accommodation. Now, accommodation is essentially the change in the refracting of light so that it can focus adequately on the retina. So light's going to come in. We want to manipulate or change, refract. In physics, we call that changing the direction of the light by changing the density of the material. So making it thicker lens, more refraction, and therefore the light is bent more onto the retina. And that's what we call focusing. So, or accommodation. So accommodation is the changing of the lens in order to refract light onto the retina. Remember, the cornea is responsible for 70% of refraction, but we cannot manipulate the shape of that. That is a fixed shape. It's only the lens that we can manipulate that allows for that refraction process. So that is what we call accommodation. Adaptation is a different within itself, so make sure you're aware of the difference. Adaptation is the change, if you like, in the sensing of light and dark environments. So it takes around 10 seconds in order to adapt to be able to see in a bright and dark environment. Your night vision takes a full 30 to 45 minutes to develop. So adaptation is for bright light to dark light and vice versa. Accommodation is the change in refraction or the bending of light so that you can see it. In terms of visual acuity, so your ability to see objects at distance, there are two systems. Firstly, the 20/20, or now the 6/6. 20/20 is essentially in feet, 6/6 is essentially in meters. What this basically says is that you can see what a normal person can see at 20 feet. So if you have 20/20 vision, you can see what a normal person can see at 20 feet. We use the 6/6 method now, so you may see that crop up in the ATPL exams. 6/6 or 6 meters is the same as 20 feet. Remember our units of conversion, that there are 3.28 feet in a meter. So when you multiply that out, 20 feet is the same as 6 meters. So a couple of conditions then that affect the eye and our ability to see, or visual defects. There are two main ones we need to be aware of, what we call myopia and hypermetropia. Firstly, we're going to look at myopia, which is also known as being short-sighted. An individual that is short-sighted essentially has an elongated eyeball. So the eyeball essentially is elongated, which means that when the light is focused, it focuses short of the retina in front of it. This means that incoming light is focused short of the retina. That is known as being short-sighted. So the light is focused short of the retina. So in terms of treating myopia, the lens that is required is a concave lens. This is essentially the lens that is thinner in the middle and wider at the outside. What this is going to do is it's going to push those light rays slightly further apart before they hit the cornea and therefore the lens. And hopefully what that's going to do is it's going to bring the focus point onto the retina. An individual with myopia can see items that are close up quite clearly, but they struggle to see items or objects in the distance. So myopia is an individual that has a longer eye than normal. The light focus is short of the retina. To treat it, we're going to use a concave lens, which essentially pushes the light waves slightly further apart, pre-falling onto the cornea, as they then pass through the lens, they should then focus onto the retina. So slightly further apart, meaning they not focus short of the lens, the retina anymore. And that is going to allow our person to be able to see distances both close up and far away. So myopia, long eye, light focus short of the lens, treat it short of the retina, and the individual will be given concave lenses to help focus the light. The next one then is what we call hypermetropia. Now, hypermetropia is the opposite. So hypermetropia is where the eye is shorter than usual or we'd usually expect. Therefore, the light, when it's refracted, focuses after the retina. So you get the light focusing behind the eye. So in order to do that, what we need to do is we need to bring the light closer together, pre-hitting the cornea. That is going to ensure that it's focused onto the retina rather than the focal point falling behind it. So hypermetropia is caused by a shorter than normal eye. The light waves or light rays are focused after or long of the retina, behind it. The corrective action there is to use a convex lens. That's going to help bring the light into focus, advancing that focal point onto the retina. Someone with hypermetropia can see items or objects far away, but will struggle to see items or objects that are closer to it. And it's important that we're able to distinguish between the two. So hypermetropia and myopia, two important vision defects that you need to be aware of. The third one is what we call presbyopia. Now, pres, anything prefixed with pres means age. Now, presbyopia is essentially, as we age, the body gets not so good at producing the protein structures that we need in order to function properly. The elasticated structures essentially become slack. What that's going to do is it's going to mean the lens is less able to essentially be pulled into shape by the muscles. You lose the refractive property of the lens. It tends to cause long-sightedness over a period of time. So it's going to introduce hypermetropia. So as the person becomes long-sighted over time, the lens is unable to bend or pull the light onto the retina, and therefore the focal point starts to fall behind the lens. Essentially, what we get is the light behaving like the eye is too short, and that is a form of long-sightedness. So presbyopia, age 50, you may see age 45, whichever number in the exam comes close to age 50. Presbyopia, the onset of long-sightedness due to lack of elasticity in the tissues. And indeed, it's the same reason why in old people we get that kind of stooping over. As the body becomes, as it ages, the proteins produced diminish. The amount of water retention actually drops as well. And that causes kind of the slackness. And the same happens in the lens. The next condition we need to understand is astigmatism, and this is quite simple. Essentially, light needs to pass through a completely transparent structure in order to for the light rays to pass through it. We get refraction, which is the bending of light, and if the surfaces are the same, made of the same material, have a nice smooth surface, as the light slows down, as it enters that structure, it will bend, and that causes the refraction, and that's how optics essentially works. If the structure, however, does not have a smooth surface or the material is disrupted somehow, that's going to affect the way the light passes through it. Astigmatism occurs when the lens or the cornea has got an irregular surface. What that is going to do is it's going to affect the refraction of the light. And astigmatism essentially causes scattering. You get light essentially that comes off in all different directions that is focused into onto various different elements of the retina, which eventually also causes a problem in terms of how the vision is perceived. So you may lack being able to see or distinguish different parts of a picture, for example. The classic one they always give in the exams is the telegraph pole and the wires. A person without astigmatism can see the poles and the cables between the two. A person with astigmatism may see the cable, may see the poles and not the cables. So your actual picture is altered because the light is being scattered somewhere else. It can be corrective by a form of corrective lenses. So it is, we can kind of counteract that. Glaucoma and cataracts, again, both affect the eye. So glaucoma is essentially caused by an overpressure inside the eye. We talked about the fact that we've got vitreous and aqueous humor. Without getting too much into the eye anatomy, you've got fluid inside the eye that moderates the pressure. And the fluid is being constantly produced and constantly drained. That keeps the eye kind of in its right spherical shape. Otherwise, it would deflate like a basketball. The problem with glaucoma occurs when you get overpressure, and that can occur for one of two reasons. Essentially, you can get overproduction of fluid or a blockage in the drainage system. Either way, overproduction of the eye essentially is going to lead to glaucoma. This essentially causes a problem or within the pressure inside the eye, and that causes damage, particularly the application of pressure on the back of the eye and the optic nerve can damage the vision process. You also actually get this distinct bluing of the eye. A little fact for you regarding glaucoma: it was one of the first medical conditions ever diagnosed by Hippocrates, who himself, about 400 AD, a chap from the ancient Greek times, he's considered the actual father of medicine. He associated with glaucoma, which is a word associated with the blue of the ancient Greek oceans, as a condition that affected the elderly. But glaucoma, it gives a distinctive characteristic bluing of the eyes. It's caused by overpressure in the eye, too much fluid, overproduction of liquid, not enough drainage, and compression of the optic nerve at the back. It can be treated successfully with medication. Best thing to do is go to the opticians, because it needs to be picked up in its early stages if possible, because it can lead ultimately to damage of the optic nerves and vision loss. Finally then, cataract. Essentially, this is caused by a clouding of the lens. This tends to occur due to exposure to high UV conditions. You get lens discoloration, which again prevents the light from passing through the lens successfully, which within itself then obviously is going to reduce your ability to see. Again, lens discoloration, slow process, usually caused by exposure to high amounts of UV radiation. Another thing we need to be aware of, it's not a medical condition, but flash blindness. Essentially, once our night vision has occurred, flash amounts of light, etc., can cause blindness. We do recommend, whenever we're using in night or dark environments, to make sure we kind of really settle into the nighttime environment. One of the reasons why we don't operate strobe lighting is because of flash blindness. Obviously, if your lasers have adapted to working in low light conditions, and then we flood them with light very quickly, we can get a blinding of the a blinding essentially. As we bleach and activate those rod cells, it takes a bit of time for that to pass, and then for the night vision to readapt. And that's a problem if it's above 5,000 feet, where we know we're above the hypoxic threshold, that can cause a diminishment in the ability or onset of night vision. Spectacles, important to understand that if you are given a medical, a class on medical with spectacles, your medical might dictate that you have to wear, have to have a second pair of spectacles. Contact lenses, regarding medicals, you need to have worn them previously before your AME will clear you to fly on a class one with your contact lenses being your main thing to wear in terms of correcting your vision. So that really is vision in flight, specifically just around the actual how the eye functions, how we see, and some of the visual defects. So a couple of quick poser questions for you then, in terms or relation to the eye and the eye anatomy. So the pupil is the hole in the eye. What name is given to the structure that controls the diameter of the pupil? The correct answer there is the iris. Which of the two is responsible for more refraction, the cornea or the lens? And what are the percentage values of refraction contributed by each? The cornea and the lens contribute what or how much of the refraction of light? Correct answer there being the cornea contributes 70% of the refraction, the lens 30%. In terms of the eye itself, then, rod and cone cells, whereabouts are cone cells located in the eye? The correct answer there being the fovea. They're concentrated in the fovea. The rod cells themselves rely on which chemical beginning with an R in order to function? And that is rhodopsin. They require rhodopsin. Which vitamin is required for the production of rhodopsin? In order for your rod cells to produce the chemical rhodopsin in order for them to function, they require oxygen. At what altitude is oxygen deemed insufficient enough to produce the optimum effect of night vision? At what altitude do we consider that to be? So that would be 5,000 feet. We consider our altitude threshold to be 5,000 feet, by which oxygen levels reduce that can affect night vision. Okay, humans are monocular or binocular? Humans are binocular. They have two eyes and they rely on input from two eyes to sense depth perception. Depth perception is roughly effective for about 60 meters, after which you rely on environmental kind of information in order to perceive depth. A person has an eyeball that's anatomically shorter than it should be. Is this person suffering with myopia or hypermetropia? That person is hypermetropic. A hypermetropic person, the light will focus where? So in someone with hypermetropia, light will focus behind or long of the retina because the eye is anatomically shorter than it should be. In terms of treating hypermetropia, do we use a convex or concave lens? Again, we're going to be using a convex lens to treat somebody with hypermetropia. Again, that's going to help ensure that we're able to focus the light advance. We're going to bring it closer together before it hits the cornea and lens, therefore bringing it onto the retina. Myopia then, where is the light focused in an individual with myopia? And the light is focused in front of the lens. It's focused in front of the lens because the eyeball is anatomically bigger or longer than it should be, causing short-sightedness. Which type of lens are we going to use in order to treat a person with myopia? So we're going to use a convex lens to treat myopia, and that's going to help focus the light further behind where it naturally would come to focus. So push the light apart before it hits the cornea and the lens, focusing it therefore onto the retina. Subject to your medical, your AME report, the class for medical, how many pairs of glasses or spectacles should you carry with you in addition to the pair that you're wearing in order for your medical to be valid? A person over the age of 45 should be careful of what condition that affects the eye. That's presbyopia. Presbyopia can affect the eye. But how? How does presbyopia affect the eye over 50? Well, the reduction of elasticity due to the aging process can cause the onset of long-sightedness. This essentially is going to cause the lens to focus the eye long of the retina itself, so behind it. There's not enough pull. We can't focus or bring the light together onto the retina due to that loss in elasticity. So that's presbyopia. Glaucoma is caused by irregularities in the cornea and the lens. True or false? The answer there being false, because glaucoma is caused by overpressure. That's due to overproduction of fluid or inadequate drainage of the eye. How does glaucoma affect the vision? So glaucoma affects vision by putting compressive force on the optic nerve, the optic fibres, which can cause vision loss. Astigmatism is caused how? So astigmatism is caused by the irregular surface on the cornea and the lens. That causes a scattering effect, which can affect the field of view. The image perceived might not bear resemblance to reality, missing bits of information in an image, but it can be corrected. Finally, cataracts as a condition. Exposure to which wavelengths of light over time can cause the onset of cataracts? And that is exposure to UV light can cause cataracts over long periods of time. So there we have it, the basic anatomical structures of the eye, the components required for vision. We've looked at the main conditions that affect vision in terms of health of the eye, and in particular, the onset of presbyopia. Remember, that is important, the onset of long-sightedness caused by the ageing process. Don't forget, you can listen to us on Apple Podcasts or over on the website ATPL Assist. Hopefully, if you're a student pilot, you'll find in these little podcasts useful in terms of preparing for your exams. And I'll see you back here for another episode of ATPL Assist.